Hey everybody, my name's Colton Dury, and I'm here with my wife,
Brittany Dury, and we wanted to welcome you to our podcast called The Bible Study. Each segment will be different on our podcast, but not every segment will be covering Bible study material.
Every topic we cover in our segments will be rooted in biblical truth, ranging from conversation on biblical topics and values, to teaching Bible studies that you can share.
We wanted to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that God's Word will reach you wherever you are.
So stay tuned in for more of the Bible study.
All right, everybody. We are finally going to finish up the five-part Gospel Bible study. This chapter is all about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to address it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 38, reads, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So far, we have learned about repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. Now let's look at what the Bible says about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. This forces us to ask the questions: what is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? All throughout history, people have asked questions about who Jesus is and who the Holy Spirit is, and they've made things horribly complicated in the area where the Bible speaks very clearly. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 reads, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." The author of Romans interchanges the words Spirit, Spirit of God, and Spirit of Christ easily. The writer is not talking about three different people, but a singular God, one God who is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus living inside of you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 reads, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, in the hope of glory." Here the Bible is very direct. You have not received Christ if you have not been filled with the Spirit. How important is all of this? Well, John chapter 3, verse 3 through 7 says, "Jesus answered to him and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again.'" So being filled with the Holy Spirit is a critical part of salvation. Repenting, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit is the process whereby we are saved. It's how we are washed of our sin and filled with the power of God. Salvation is not just about right now. It's about being saved for eternity. And a little side note, and my pastor says it over and over again, and he's exactly right. We don't just repent of our sins, baptize, and are filled with God's Spirit, and then one time, and we can just then go live our life for the, you know, however we want, even if we sin and just abuse the grace of God. That is not right. What we mean is, once you start this relationship with God, it's not one-sided. Yes, he will always forgive you, but that does not give you a get-out-of-jail-free card to just go live your life however you want. There are expectations that God expects you to live by. And a great place to look at basically expectations that God has for you is number one, the Ten Commandments, and then number two, the fruits of the Spirit. So that's, I'll get off the soapbox, but I want you guys to understand that He's not just here to save us once. Jesus dwells inside of us to continue saving us every time we fall, because I promise you, you're human and you and I will continue to fall. But because of the grace of God, because of the Holy Spirit that is dwelling inside of us, we are able to say, Jesus, I've messed up again. I'm truly sorry. You guys learned about this when we talked about repentance. And I'm going to turn from those ways again, and I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to try to walk the way that you want me to walk. That's the end goal. My striving point is to be more like you and to spread your love and to love like you ultimately, God. So the question remains, how do I know that I am saved? Well, when you have repented, you've changed your heart and you've turned towards God. And when you were baptized, you get completely soaking wet. And that's pretty hard not to know what happened. But how do I know if I've been filled with the Spirit? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 reads this way. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 10 verses 44 through 46 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who had heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they have heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So in both of these instances, when people received the Holy Spirit, it was accompanied by a supernatural sign. The supernatural sign was, and still is, speaking in other tongues. In other words, it means speaking in a language you do not understand and that you've never been taught before. This is the initial, or the first, evidence of someone being filled with the Spirit of God. You're in prayer, worshiping God, and you can feel His presence surrounding you. Maybe tears begin to flow as you feel God's touch on your heart. And then all of a sudden, it gets hard to speak your native language. What is happening? You're feeling the presence of God, and God is trying to speak through you in other tongues while you are praising Him in your native language. When that happens, you must make the decision to consciously surrender your tongue to God. I know that using the term your tongue may be a little intimidating and confusing and seem kind of like really old, but how I like to think of it and how I like to talk to people about it is we have got to surrender the control of our mouth, because you know and I know that in today's society, and it has been this way for years, but especially right now, everybody has an opinion and everybody has something to say about everything. And what we have to do is surrender our mouth to God. And you all know how hard that truly is, even if we're not saying anything. Our thoughts, they have to come into subjection under God. And that's why He chose the tongue, because there's power of life and death in our tongue. And in James chapter 3, verses 8, it literally says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So I choose to believe that is exactly why God chose tongues as the evidence and the sign that He is dwelling within us, because no man can tame it, but God can. Let's even go a little further. James chapter 3, verse 6 through 8 reads, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." And that's the English Standard Version. So these verses of scripture make it sound like God shouldn't choose tongues because the tongue is evil and full of deadly poison. But one reason God chose tongues is because of this action cannot be duplicated. Nobody else can do this. Only God can tame our mouths, our tongue. We cannot make people say things no matter how much we try. And you know that. They must make that decision for themselves. That is why speaking in other tongues signifies the person has given total control over their life to God. Tongues is a supernatural sign. It's more than just a good feeling. You can get a good feeling in lots of different ways. So that's not a specific sign. It's also not just feeling excited or glad, but it's something that cannot be replicated or duplicated outside the power of God. Woo! I feel His power here. I don't know about you guys, but I feel it here right now. So why be filled? Because the Holy Spirit is Christ in you. John chapter 10, verse 10 reads, Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and life to its full." And that is from the New Living Translation. So when you are filled with the Spirit, you have become alive to God. The Spirit brings power into your life. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have power because that's Christ, and Christ has power, and now He's living inside of you. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18 read, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Miracles come through the Spirit of God. Healing comes through the Spirit of God. And peace comes through the Spirit of God. So you might ask the question, do I have to speak in tongues? And my answer is, why would you not want to be filled with the Spirit? It's a gift from God. You do not have to earn the Holy Spirit. You just need to ask God for it and then be prepared to receive it. You can have this experience. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't matter where you are or what time it is or where you come from. Or how old you are. As you reach out to God and begin to feel His presence, He can and He will fill you. You can become an overcomer through the Spirit of God. So in conclusion, do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus came to save you? Do you believe that you must repent of your sins and turn back to God? Do you believe baptism in Jesus' name is the only way to be washed of your sins and your debt is paid? Do you believe being filled with the Holy Spirit, initially evidenced by speaking in other tongues, is necessary for your salvation and is the only means whereby you can live dead to sin, alive to Christ, and filled with the needed power to live an overcoming life? If you can accept all of these things, if you can believe in them and are willing to obey them, then Jesus can and He will save you. So let's close with prayer and thank God together for His saving grace. Jesus, we come to you today to thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I know that you came to save us. Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to repent for our sins, God, to turn back to you. Jesus, I thank you for your baptism to wash my sins away and that the debt is paid. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us once we give our lives to you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, for giving me the revelation. God, for giving us the revelation that we do need all of these things in order for our salvation to be completed. God, I pray for hope and perseverance, Lord, in this walk that I have with you, Jesus. God, I pray that those who are listening, that they somehow open their hearts to the full truth that you have, because I remember the day and the time when I did, and I've never been the same. I've had trials and tribulations, Jesus, but you know that you have always been there to make a way for me. God, I thank you for everything that you've opened up to my eyes, God, and to our listeners' eyes and to our hearts. And I pray that your Spirit continues to be the power in my life, God, and maybe the power for the first time in someone who is listening in their life, God, because that is the essential key to overcoming this life in this world, is the Holy Spirit living within us. And then we get to have eternal life with you. Jesus, we thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for your mercy. And I thank you so much for those who are listening, God, and who are spreading your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
We wanted to thank you for tuning in to the Bible Study Podcast.
As you continue to tune in with us, I encourage you to study God's word yourself.
If you have any topics that you would like to learn more about or any questions about a previous segment, feel free to reach out via email at brittdurre@gmail.com. brittdurre@gmail.com.
We pray you have a blessed day in Jesus' name.